Good morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 9th.
It is.
Well, now that we've had verification on that one, yes, Greg Foster's alongside. Yeah, lovely calendar we have, isn't it?
I know. It's nice and big, too.
Yeah, well, there's a corollary to that.
Yeah.
You notice all of us have glasses on?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we do it that way. All right. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
All right. You haven't even seen this book, have you?
I have not seen it. I've heard it over the radio.
Yes. Okay. So let's find out. Oh, and I could give you a real cream puff, but I'm not going to.
No. Come on, bring it on, man.
It's the radio station, TV station, KW thing. I'll say that for somebody else. Why is the symbol RX used on medical prescriptions?
Oh, wow. You know, that's a great question. It's got to be something Latin. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, Latin?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew this book was too easy.
Well, just because, you know, so much stuff in medical is Latin.
Right, right. It was once believed that RX stood for recipere, the Latin word for take this.
Oh, okay.
This explanation, however, did not account for the crossed foot on the symbol. A more likely explanation is one based on the sign of Jupiter. In ancient times, the god Jupiter was thought to have dominion over matters involving health and healing. Even today, the period of planet Jupiter's ascendancy is believed by many to be a good time for gathering herbs and making medicine.
Okay.
Ooh, hmm.
I just ran uptown to Ring's Pharmacy.
Yeah, yeah. It became customary, therefore, to precede medical prescriptions with the sign of Jupiter as a means of enduring favorable results from the medicine. The sign of Jupiter, yeah, looks like a number four. A combo of two and four. And over time, this sign has gradually been distorted until now it takes the form of the familiar RX.
All right. So, I was in the right neighborhood.
Yeah. For the bad rumor.
Right.
Hey, yeah. Looks like you got your hair cut.
Yeah, a little bit. A little
Way
bit.
To go.
Yeah, still longer than pre-COVID times. I might stick with it like that.
Flowing locks?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, my forehead's retreating, so I might as well let the back get longer.
I just blow it all off. It doesn't matter. Hey, I got a question for you, and it's kind of connected to everything else that's going on. With the challenges and the colors and the this's and the that's and business starting to happen again, whatever, I'm getting a lot of folks asking, is the Denver direct flight going to come back? Once it's available, are we going to be able to get out of Dodge and go and do and be able to participate with all this pent-up vacation desire as well as everybody else coming here easy, too?
Well, you asked a question that might make news. At this point, we're told yes.
Wait a sec.
We're told yes on June 3rd, but...
Oh, really?
But we'll see.
Cool.
And it's interesting what they've done with that flight is they actually never canceled it. I mean, not canceled. They have canceled it. What they've done is they haven't taken it out of their schedule. So if you look, it says that you can book, and then they do these rolling cancellations. So it never was a terminated flight. It was suspended, right? So we've been talking to them, and they are, I won't say 100%. But we're very confident that we'll see that come back in the summer. And at the same time, we're seeing American.
Hey, another news update.
I'm making news right and left here. We're seeing American, of course, come in on June 3rd for their flight to Phoenix. And we're actually talking.
And that's locked down.
That's locked
rock
down.
Rock and roll, baby.
That's locked down. Yep. That's locked down.
Okay. But who wants to go to Phoenix middle of summer?
It's not about that. It's about people from Phoenix wanting to come here.
Oh, it's the backhaul.
The plane goes, interestingly.
Well, we're the backhaul, I guess.
People have asked that question. And, I've said, interestingly, these aircraft go both directions. They have to fly backward on the way back. But, yeah. No, when American contacted us and said they wanted to come up here, and we've been talking to them literally, people go, wow, you just make this stuff happen. It's like, yeah, I made this presentation to them in 2017.
What? 20 years ago, 25 years ago, isn't that when they were here?
They did. We had American Eagle flying a little Jetstream.
A little polo jumper.
Tiny, tiny, yeah. It was one of those aircraft that that people who were
it flew.
Over. Yeah, it did. And but you had to really bend over when you get in when you got
oh,
in.
Oh, join the crowd,
yeah,
baby.
Exactly.
I mean,
I
know,
you
cares?
Don't feel a bit too bad yeah. about it. But anyway, that went to San Jose. No, but what they said was they were really interested in coming here, and their VP said because of our proximity to Redwood National Park. And those, I think they really see
really?
It. Yep, yep. That they felt
that's
that,
weird.
You know?
Or maybe that scene is one of those big wide open space things
exactly,
that people are covering.
Exactly. 2.5 hours from Phoenix. You can get on the, you know, you can get to the ocean. You can get to a rainforest where it's cool in the summer. And, you know, Phoenix Metro is, what, 5-6 million people? You know, it's...
well, think, there's a lot of Humboldt County residents, or
former
residents, right. in the Phoenix, in the Valley, so...
Right, and I think the other thing, of course, is that Phoenix is a hub for Americans, so... So there's a lot of flying out
it's
of there.
It's a magic spot for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may see traffic, you know, winter, spring, of course, spring... training people coming out of the north going down towards that direction and then
sunbirds is what they're called
yes and then in as the you know temperatures roll up to 110 120 in Phoenix
you get cooked you sunbirds
get, yeah you can get them up here and so you know we had done some analyses back in 2015 we do these things called leakage studies they're basically big market reports to show where the gaps are for the where we're where people are flying from, people who live in Humboldt County are flying, but we can find out which airport they're flying from. And so we see a lot of people from Humboldt County flying from other airports. And so then we can go to the airlines and say, listen, you know, you put this in, you can reasonably expect to capture this much traffic at this price.
Now, will they move, Greg, also if, let's say, somebody's driving from here to Sacramento to take United? Will United want to get them from here, or does somebody else see that as an opportunity to nail them before they get on their
little
competitor?
Little of both. Little of both. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
We'll talk more after we get the break.
I think so. The magic Nerf ball says it's commercial time, and it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from Redec.
Yes.
I didn't give you the intro.
No, I know. I stepped on my intro.
Good old buddy, Greg.
Stepped on your intro talking about the calendar.
Oh, if you ever want to see just a funny YouTube, we're of the same general age. Johnny Carson, Dean Martin, and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sure.
They came on after Bob Hope, and then George Gobel comes in.
Oh, wow.
It's half an hour of crying laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the lines, good old buddy.
Right, good old buddy.
Good old Greg, yeah. So with the airlines, I would suspect that, you know, as you referenced earlier, we got coming in and going out. Okay. The... leaving here isn't going to change too terribly much. Does this mean that Humboldt County has been discovered?
That's a great question. It's partly that, you know, one of the issues we had in the past when we were doing airline recruiting, and I'll talk specifically about American in this case, you know, we were doing presentations to them for years, you know, up until probably 2018.
You know us, you love us, come on back home.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were very interested, you know, and we'd have these conversations. And the way the airline industry worked back then, which is the big difference from now, was, you know, we would talk to the network, our network rep that managed our region, and then they would have to take our information and literally sort of pitch it to their bosses. And oftentimes what would come back is, we just don't have the equipment. We just don't have
the manpower,
yeah,
staffing,
yeah, basically,
yeah,
and
that's endemic across the country,
right? Well, they were moving resources around. They had to figure out why, they had to figure out how to meet all this demand, and so what's changed, obviously, with COVID is we got a lot of slack in the system, right? There's a lot of capacity down. So I think that they looked and said, okay, let's, you know, rebuilding the networks, let's look at what we really are interested
in.
So
kind of an Etch-a-Sketch opportunity?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Because it's hard for them to – it was kind of almost a zero-sum game back in the day, which is like, if you're getting service, someone else is losing it. And that's, you know, right. That's hard for an airline.
So why change?
Right. Exactly. And yeah. So now it's you know, we have all this slack in the system. There's a lot of capacity that can be divvied out. And, we always like that market. Let's give it a shot. The other thing is, and this is, so that's American, you know, talking to United early on in, well, you know, 3 or 4 months into the COVID pandemic, you know, we asked the question. Of course, everyone in the industry, including us, is sort of in free fall and panic. We didn't know where this was going. But we asked them the question of, you know, long term, you know, is this going to change your strategy, or what's your rebuilding strategy? And our network guy said, well, you know, it's coming down from the top dogs, which is like their economic prognosticators that they have it, you know, that we need to look at more regional and smaller airport flying, small hub, non-hub,
rather
to feed our network, to feed our network. And so,
okay, so roots to the tree rather than,
yeah, yeah. So, so it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out industry wide, but we're seeing. You know, it's not just us. I mean, we're seeing announcements of new service all over the place. I mean, my colleagues, and we used to get together 3 or 4 times a year, you know, my colleagues from all over the country. And
right.
Now we just, you know, talk to each other through LinkedIn, basically. And we're seeing announcements all over the place. So it really was, yeah, I think, it's, you know, that Etch-a-Sketch is kind of is a good analogy. It's like,
can you use it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with the other airlines having interest in our area, I would think that the natural individual response would be, no, this is my territory. I'm going to build a fence. I'm getting, you know, for United.
Right.
I'm going to bring in bigger planes. I'm going to bring in more planes. This is, I'm going to own, and whatever you guys think you're going to get. Uh-uh.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that the response that's happening?
That can,
are you hearing whispers, or are they going to?
The airlines are great over time, and Herb Kelleher was the founder of Southwest Airlines, and he changed the market to a certain extent. But it used to be like it was all about market share. Our job is to capture the biggest market share in any area, and the airlines would do that in such a way that basically bankrupted them all, right? Which is, you know, we're gonna. You know, when every destination is a loss leader, you have a problem, right? So Herb Kelleher, you know, said, I'll fire anyone that talks about market share above profitability. But market share still matters. And so there is a threat. And it's interesting about airlines is that when you see a service announcement, I think in some ways it's sort of like, you know, when a dog barks, all the other dogs look over to see what's going on.
Or when Walmart comes to town. Everybody kind of gets around it because they know it's a magnet.
Right.
Yeah.
And so so in some ways, when you get a service announcement, it doesn't like have an airline throw their hand, another airline throw up a hand and say, well, we lost the opportunity. It's like, huh, what does that other airline know that we don't?
Yeah, what do they see?
And we're going to get in there. So we're still in this rebuilding phase. I mean, we're still seeing some cancellations. We aren't doing a lot of flights right now, but you know, we're coming through this period of time where we expect that, you know, vaccine distribution and vaccinations will be pretty good by the end of May. And then the airlines can really start stabilizing their schedules, because right now it's still pretty unstable.
So United might actually still have some response that they're looking
at. Oh, absolutely.
Add a flight or two.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see capacity being added as the overall network improves and flying improves.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Redex Executive Director, Greg Foster, and sponsor of Talk Shop.
I know.
That ought to be on your title, too.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Wear it proud. I have a name badge that covers half my body here.
Most of us would then call it a target, but that could work, too. Greg, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there with the airlines, one of the things that I see is the spinning out then, which should be positive, but we're still dealing with Humboldt County closed mines. You know, we've talked decades about why doesn't Old Town stay open after 6 o'clock when the tourists are coming to town?
Right, right.
Well, there's one or two, and that's about all she wrote. Well, now there's only one or two that aren't food primarily down there anyway. So
bars and food. That's what I do at night down there.
Yeah. So we have all this additional capacity, these people coming into town. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have cabs. We don't have rental cars. We don't have buses. We don't have shuttles. We don't have a lot of this stuff for people. And obviously, hey, that's an opportunity.
Right.
But if you're doing one car at a time, you know, here comes a plane load full of people. You can't process that.
Right.
Is the lodging industry moving in this direction? Are you getting people talking about transportation and some of these other things, restaurants that will be available and open and – you know, all those types of things that are all part of this equation. If they're coming here to escape the heat, to see the trees, to jump in the water, they still have to be able to get there and stay here.
I think you're absolutely right. And you know, I think in a lot of ways our tourism promotion organizations see themselves as tourism promotion. And we have a lot of, I think, quite honestly, and I'll probably get some blowback, we have too many tourism promotion organizations in this county. They're just too many. That being said, their strategy has been, and it's not necessarily a wrong strategy, is trying to get us discovered. So there's a lot of marketing going out of the area, trying to get, you know, come to here. This is what we've got. But we all know that it's not enough just to get people into your place of business, that that you're spending a lot of money and effort on customer acquisitions. You better make sure that your customer satisfaction is high, because that's where you start really making your money, is repeat business and word of mouth, and you know.
Well, and that's where the efficiencies are.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And especially in these days of TripAdvisor and Yelp and all these other things where
Not controllable on the message.
Right. Yeah. You know, back in a long time ago, I used to work in radio advertising, and we always, you know, said that one of the best things you can do is get the testimonial, right? And well, now people are doing it on their own, right? You get a TripAdvisor or something, and it's just got all these reviews.
That's a sword that has two sharp ends.
Exactly.
On it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, the opposite, right? You know, we got a lot of negative testimonials. Well, it's going to be tough. And so the overall customer experience as they get off an aircraft, and I'm speaking specifically of aircraft. I don't know everything about RVing around here, or driving. But they need to be they need to know that they're being taken care of from the moment they walk in to the baggage claim, right? They need to have that visual experience, that informational experience, and that infrastructure that allows them to, I mean, they're here to de-stress if they're a tourist, right?
Make it easy for me to have fun.
Exactly. That's, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think we do lack on that. You know, we don't have, I mean, we have beautiful art in the terminal that, you know, the Redwood Art Association.
And you step outside and you see weeds.
Well, and so the facility doesn't look great outside. And hasn't for years, and that's just a failure of facility maintenance at the county. another, I'm making another statement that will give me lots of love. But also, you know, the information for folks. And we used, you know, we lost Hertz because Hertz went bankrupt at the time of the COVID started. We do have National and Enterprise up there still. But, you know, we do need to make sure we have car rentals, shuttles, that kind of thing that makes it, and just plain old information so people know, you know, or even a welcome.
Now, I would suspect that a lot of people coming here already are coming here for a reason.
Right.
They've got maybe very broad stroked.
Right, right.
Okay, that's cool. But, you know, is it in anticipation of this and with the percentage being as high as it is of visitors, would it make sense for the airport to have the equivalent of a concierge?
Well,
and just, yeah. You know.
And so much in other airports, you know, airports are basically big real estate entities, right? And their job is to also manage the infrastructure of the airport. And so a lot of times when you go to an airport and you see these beautiful displays and all that, that's not done necessarily by the airport. What they've done is provided the real estate.
Contracted out.
Right. Or even just offered it, right?
Right.
And it's really up to the promotional organizations to do that. And what you want to do is you know, create this customer experience from the time you get off the plane till the time you leave where you go, man, that was great. I was well taken care of.
Well, that's what I was saying, inside the Hertz slot, why not turn it into an information kiosk?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
And you got all the giveaways and all the pretty pictures and all that kind of stuff there. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and some people go, why doesn't the airport do that? Or why don't you do that, Greg, at Fly Humboldt? And I want to say, it's not my job. And that's a I hate when people say that.
Right.
But my job at Fly Humboldt is to encourage airlines primarily to fly here.
Capacity.
And then do what we can to get people to fly to make them successful. The airport's job is to provide all the infrastructure to do that. But
it's tough to make money when you're giving things away for free,
exactly.
Unless you got
well. My budget for this is
you.
Zero, right? This is REDAC donating basically my time and money to this cause because we feel that it's good for the economy to have this connection.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, when you said that there's a lot of interest identified for people wanting to come to Redwood National Park, I get an immediate ball in the pit of my stomach.
Okay.
You go to most national parks and there's infrastructure there. There's hostels, there's lodging, there's all these accommodations. You go to Redwood National Park, we don't have a restaurant within 15 minutes. EDB is okay. We'll kind of set that one aside. Okay, now it's out to 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Lodging, unless you're doing an Airbnb kind of an approach or you want to roll something out on the beach, there's really nothing there.
Right.
I mean, so they come here, but there's no there, to quote Yogi. one of the things that Dave Tooley had said when he was city manager back in the 80s was you got to be sure that you're ready for people before you invite them.
Right, right.
Are we ready for people now that they've been invited and they're coming? Across the board, it's not just travel and
and
getting people.
I'll give you the politician's answer, which is yes and no.
How do we get to a yes, yes?
Right. You know, I mean, during this whole last year, I've been doing a lot of staycation kind of activities. I've been going up to Redwood National Park. I mean, the trails, the visitor centers when they were open are great. I mean, they have a lot of that. But you're right. There's not a lot to do within the park in terms of lodging and eating and that sort of thing. In Eureka, it would be lovely to have more lodging downtown, in Old Town especially. You know, we don't have a lot of waterfront kind of areas. You know, we like the, you think about
buildings,
the, right?
Even well, on wa- the waterfront.
Yeah. You know, there's some great places. I mean, you know, one of our customers is the Inn at Second and Sea, and they've done amazing work there. It's 24 rooms. It's
not they're huge. There. Greg Pearson's got his place, right. You know, for four or five. But, right. I mean, it's really right. Few and far between.
Right. And you know, we do need better directional signage and better kind of things like that. Public safety is still an issue. You know, we do have a homeless issue down there and some, you know, cleanup issues that we need to deal with. And it's not just... Quite honestly, it's not just the homeless and other folks down there who are causing problems, but it's also just building owners fixing up their buildings and building owners and business owners going out and cleaning up the weeds and stuff like that. And that, you know, even a little thing can create a bad impression that lasts for the customer. So we do need to really take a concierge approach to tourists coming in and take the pride in our communities like we, I hope, take pride in our own homes.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting if somebody just drove around with a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fire guys do it with the sprinklers.
Right.
Something about, okay, here's what you need to do to spruce your place up. Bing, 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 bing.
Well, we better get ready because by June or July, I think they're going to really
be
coming.
They're going to be here. Yep. Yeah. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.